Welcome back to another episode of Retire with Confidence Radio, the only podcast designed and broadcast specifically for retirees right here in Arizona. I'm your host, as always, Kobe Kress, and today we're going to discuss maximizing the tax benefits of your charitable donations, specifically utilizing a donor-advised fund. In today's episode, I'm also going to give you a brief update on the reopening of the economy here in Arizona, and I want to shine a light on Arizona's state tax credit program, which I have found in my practice a lot of retirees are not aware of. Remember, this podcast is about equipping you with the skills, knowledge, and tools that you need to take action so that you can enjoy the retirement you've always dreamed of. All right, I want to give you a quick update on where Arizona stands with regards to the coronavirus cases and the reopening of our economy. As I was putting this episode together, I had just finished listening to Governor Ducey discuss his plans to extend our statewide stay-at-home order until May 15th. Obviously, we're all itching to get back to some form of normalcy, but it looks like we're going to have to wait just a bit longer. Governor Ducey did state that he planned to use a step-by-step approach, so we shouldn't expect things to open back up all at once. However, there is good news for a lot of you out there. One area of the economy that is getting some reprieve is the elective surgery field. Governor Ducey has given the go-ahead to allow elective surgeries starting May 1st. At the time of this being written on April 29th, Arizona had a total of 7,202 cases of COVID-19 across the state, with 304 deaths and over 68,000 coronavirus tests that have been performed in the state so far. So that testing has really started to ramp up. With a bit more time stuck at home, this remains a great time to do a bit of financial housekeeping. If you haven't listened to our first three episodes, I encourage you to go back and listen to those. You'll find a lot of great ideas and steps you can take during all this to put you and your dream retirement on a stronger footing going forward. All right, let's jump into our main discussion for today, which is all about maximizing the tax benefits you can receive from your charitable contributions. And I think the best place to start that discussion is by simply walking through the basics of how charitable contributions affect your taxes at the federal level. Remember, there is a lot of nuance to the tax code, and it's best to consult your advisor or your CPA before doing anything. All right, as a starting point, it's important to note that the IRS does regulate who can benefit from charitable donations if you want to derive a tax benefit from your gift. As a rule, the IRS allows deductible gifts to be made to nonprofit religious groups, nonprofit educational groups, or nonprofit charitable groups. To make this a bit simpler, we usually refer to qualifying charities as 501c3 organizations after the section of tax law that established them. The next consideration is that your ability to deduct any charitable gift is based on you itemizing your deductions on your tax return. This is important if you use the standard deduction, which is rather common now that it was doubled as part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. You wouldn't normally benefit from your donations from a tax standpoint. Now, I say normally because the CARES Act that was recently passed in response to the coronavirus pandemic does allow for you to take a $300 above-the-line deduction for charitable donations, even if you use the standard deduction while calculating your taxable income for 2020. The fact that the standard deduction is now $24,800 for a married couple filing jointly does make the tax planning strategies I'm going to discuss here in a bit using donor advised funds that much more attractive. But we'll get into that here in a second. So you're itemizing your deductions and you've identified the 501c3 organization you would like to donate to. The next question you may have is how much can I donate and still get a tax benefit? This is a great question as the IRS does put limitations on that as well. For any gift of cash, under normal circumstances, the IRS will allow you to deduct up to 60% of your adjusted gross income. That's AGI. Let me demonstrate that with an example. Let's say you have $150,000 of AGI in 2019. Again, that's adjusted gross income. Generally, you will be able to deduct up to $90,000 worth of donations for that year based on that 60% of AGI limit. If you donate more than 60% of your AGI in any given year, you will be granted a tax carryforward for up to the next 5 years, which means you don't lose the ability to deduct those donations outright. But it will take some further tax planning in the future to make sure you get the full tax benefits. As with everything, the IRS has some guidelines you must follow. One caveat to the 60% AGI limit on cash donations is that, again, the CARES Act has turned this limit on its head for the time being. In 2020, you can deduct up to 100% of your AGI for any gift of cash made directly to a charity. Although this provision for 2020 excludes donations made to a donor-advised fund, again, to be discussed here in a second, if you're looking to make large donations in 2020, possibly to offset the income generated by some kind of liquidity event, let's say you sold your business in 2020, then giving cash directly to qualifying charities will allow you to deduct more than you otherwise would be able to do under normal circumstances. Now, donating cash is often the simplest, most straightforward way to help a charity that you care about. But is it necessarily the most tax-efficient way to help? The answer is not always. Something you should consider, especially if you have any securities with embedded capital gains in a taxable account, is to donate those appreciated securities to charity instead. As long as the security has been held for at least 1 year and 1 day, making it long-term in the IRS's eyes, then you can donate it, take a deduction for the fair market value of that security, and avoid paying the capital gains taxes associated with any sale of that security as well. This is a great way to avoid heavy capital gains taxes and meet your charitable goals all at the same time. The trade-off with donating securities as opposed to cash is that you can only deduct up to 30% of your AGI when donating long-term securities. Of course, for most of my clients, although they are extremely generous, that 30% AGI limit is rarely an issue. I know all of this can get a bit confusing, so hopefully an example will clarify the tax benefits here. Let's say you ended up having $150,000 of adjusted gross income for 2019, and let's say you made a sizable gift of $40,000 to St. Mary's Food Bank in 2019 as well. This was certainly very generous, and if you donated cash, you would be able to deduct that full $40,000. We established in our earlier example that you could donate a full $90,000 of cash with $150,000 of AGI and still receive the deduction based on the 60% of AGI rule. But instead of donating cash, let's say you donated an appreciated stock worth $40,000 that has a cost basis of only $10,000 instead. If you were to sell that stock, you would owe taxes on a $30,000 capital gain, the difference between that $40,000 selling price and that $10,000 of cost basis. And this means that you'll have to pay $4,500 in taxes, assuming the 15% capital gains rate. This will only leave you with $35,500 in cash to donate. Instead, you could simply donate the securities themselves. You will get a tax deduction for the full $40,000 fair market value of that security. In this case, $40,000 is certainly less than the 30% of your AGI. You can avoid the capital gain tax of $4,500. And if you had $40,000 of cash on hand, you could always go back and buy the same security at the time of your donation, which will essentially reset your cost basis. One note, this strategy of donating securities instead of cash works even if in the end you use the standard deduction. Let's say you want to donate $500 this year. You could donate cash, or you could donate an appreciated security worth $500. You may not be able to itemize your deductions based solely on that donation, but you will still be able to sidestep any capital gains taxes. So now that we have a good basic understanding of how qualified charitable donations affect your income taxes, I want to turn your attention to two big issues that you may be wrestling with. The first is that for many folks out there, donating enough to push them over the standard deduction in any 1 year is not realistic. For most folks, this doesn't change their giving habits, as a tax deduction was simply an added benefit, not the driving force behind their giving in the first place. The second issue that you may have picked up on is that many charities are not sophisticated enough to handle a donation of securities, which means you will need to donate cash even if you could have benefited on your taxes from donating, let's say, stock instead. So this is a great segue to talk about donor-advised funds, as they can help us solve both these tax planning issues. So you may be asking, what is a donor-advised fund? A donor-advised fund is a tax-advantage investment account that is managed by a nonprofit organization. An example of one of these nonprofits is Schwab Charitable, which manages the donor-advised funds for Charles Schwab, a financial custodian with a large presence here in the Valley. As a side note, I started my career at Charles Schwab before moving to the independent advisory firm that I work for now. All right, back to donor-advised funds. So it's a tax-advantage account, which means anything you put into your donor-advised fund grows tax-free, and for the most part, the donor is still able to direct the investments within the account. From a strict legal standpoint, the donor-advised fund is not required to follow your investment directions, but in practice, most do follow your instructions. In a practical sense, as soon as it became clear that any sponsoring nonprofit was ignoring the wishes of their donors, funds would dry up, and they would no longer be able to operate, so they have a vested interest in following your instructions. Any funds you donate to your donor-advised fund account are earmarked as an irrevocable gift for the tax year in which the donations were made. However, you are able to direct those funds to be doled out to charities of your choosing over time and in the amounts that you would like. So here is where a donor-advised fund can become so valuable as a tax planning tool. You can make a sizable donation to your donor-advised fund in a given year to push you over the standard deduction threshold, allowing you to itemize and take a larger deduction in that tax year. Of course, you may not want one large donation to go to the charities of your choosing all at once, so the donor-advised fund gives you the ability to spread those donations out over time. You get the deduction up front and can still give over a time period that you're comfortable with. As an example, let's say you're active in a local church and you consistently give $3,000 a year. You feel you will consistently give that amount or more for the rest of your life, and you're drawing those funds annually out of your trust account to make that donation. In this instance, your donations alone aren't going to push you over the standard deduction. So you're not receiving any additional tax benefit by making the donation. What if instead you chose to take 10 years worth of donations, $30,000 in this case, $3,000 a year times 10 years, and move those funds into your donor advised fund in a single year? You can still disperse those funds at a rate of $3,000 a year, and now you're over the standard deduction threshold, so you've just increased your tax savings. And you've increased your possible future giving potential, since those funds will grow tax-free over those 10 years, all by simply moving those funds into your donor-advised fund and earmarking them for charity. It's a pretty great tool, and it gives us more tax flexibility, which we have talked about in the past. It's important to note that any gift to a donor-advised fund is irrevocable, which means you can't get those funds back after the donation has been made. So be sure to discuss with your advisor or CPA before making any donations. The second big issue that a donor-advised fund helps with is with donating securities. As I mentioned before, a lot of charities are not sophisticated enough to handle the donation of securities, but with a donor-advised fund, this is no longer an issue. You simply donate to your donor-advised fund, sidestep the capital gains, sell your securities in this tax-advantaged account, and then donate cash directly to your favorite charity, all from that account. This strategy works even with smaller donations where that donation itself may not push you above the standard deduction threshold, but you would still like to avoid paying capital gains taxes. The strategy of making a large donation to a donor-advised fund is especially valuable if you have a large income year. Let's say you usually earn $100,000 a year as a business owner, but you've sold your business, which is going to cause your income to jump by $800,000 this year. This is going to be a one-time event that drives you well into the highest marginal tax bracket for both individuals and married couples filing jointly. That bracket is, of course, 37%. If you're charitably inclined, this gives you a unique opportunity to make a large donation to your donor advised fund in your current tax year, saving you a great deal of taxes at the 37% marginal tax rate, while still being able to spread those donations out to the actual charities you prefer over time. What if you're charitably inclined, but you're retired and you don't have much income to speak of other than the withdrawals you take from your IRA and Social Security? Is there any use for a donor advised fund for you? That's a great question, and I want to point you back to what we discussed in our previous episode, Roth conversions. If you want to take advantage of a donor advised fund, why not do some large Roth conversions, creating income in a single year, and then use contributions to a donor advised fund to help with deductions, therefore reducing some of the income tax burden associated with those Roth conversions. This can really help if you're trying to fill up those lower 10 and 12% tax brackets. This is especially valuable now in 2020, while you can deduct up to 100% of your adjusted gross income. Just remember, these are all tools that increase our tax flexibility, and we want to use them strategically to help us pay less in taxes over time. All right, that ends our discussion on donor advised funds for now, but send me any questions that you have, and we can certainly go into more detail on a future episode if that's of interest to you. I'd love to help you. Please go to retirewithconfidenceradio.com and send me a message, and I will answer any questions that you have to the best of my ability. So before you go, though, I want to switch gears just slightly to shine a light on an Arizona-specific tax planning opportunity that I've realized recently through conversations that a lot of folks are not aware of. What I'm talking about here is the Arizona Tax Credit Program. For those of you who may not know, a tax credit differs from and is better than a tax deduction because it's an actual dollar-for-dollar reduction in your taxes. If you owe $1,000 in Arizona taxes, but you donated $1,000 to an eligible charity or program that provides a tax credit, then your tax burden would be reduced dollar for dollar. In this case, the $1,000 of credits would eliminate the $1,000 of taxes owed. With a tax credit, you'd have essentially directed your tax dollars to the charities and programs of your choosing. Arizona has a wide range of specific tax brackets, specific tax credits, and I'm not going to go through all of these now, but as an example of just one of the tax credits you may be missing out on, Arizona gives a $200 per taxpayer, mind you, tax credit for paying fees directly to a public school within the state and in support of eligible activities such as an after-school program. If you have a grandchild who attends public school and is on a sports team, there's a good bet that a donation made to help your grandkids' team could qualify you for this tax credit. If you want more details on this and other tax credits available to you, I have provided a link in the show notes to the Arizona Department of Revenue's tax credit homepage where you can find information on this and other tax credits. All right, that's all we have time for today. Please send me your questions and feedback. Remember, this podcast is for you, and I want to be sure your questions are being answered so that you are better prepared to create the retirement you've always dreamed of. Please go to retirewithconfidenceradio.com and send me a message, and let's work through any issues you're having together. Until next time, please stay healthy and safe, and I'm truly looking forward to speaking with you here again soon on a future episode.
Retire with Confidence Radio is provided for general information purposes only and does not constitute specific accounting, legal, tax, or other professional advice. You should consult a financial advisor familiar with your unique financial situation before making any financial decisions.